This is a spiritual reading being given for Millie Solomon on Saturday, 14th of December 2024 in Victoria, Australia by John Rawson. We stand within the Hall of Memory, and the Book of the Soul is given into our hands. And the book, Millie, is a metaphor. As I see it, it's actually more like a roll of parchment or papyrus that is to be wound and unwound. But it represents the totality of all the incarnations that the soul has experienced since it first entered into incarnation many hundreds of thousands of years ago. Now, the book, as I see it, contains three representations of the soul. And each soul is actually unique. Souls are all, we're all different even before they came into physical incarnation. They were comprised, if you like, of different energies, different vibrations, if you prefer that term. And these energies are depicted on the cover of the book. And the first representation of the soul is the colour of the cover, which, as we see it, is a deep red that becomes lighter and lighter as it moves towards the edges of the cover. And the red has got a purple quality to it as well. A red is energy. It indicates that when the soul first came into incarnation, it was eager to embrace the physical world. And so dove into the physical body that was on offer, and then found itself trapped. And that very eagerness of the soul is probably part of the character, the personality, even today, that you are able to ride into situations, you're able to move into dangerous situations and then find a way out afterwards. So that the deep reds represent high energy levels, and again in this incarnation that would indicate someone who should be a mover and shaker on some level, perhaps an entrepreneur, someone who initiates projects, someone who gets things done. The second aspect of the cover is that it has a picture, and as I perceive it at this point in time, the picture is of a knight on a horse wearing old-fashioned armor. And the helmet, for example, is like a cylinder. It's a cylindrical helmet. And the knight, as I see him, is sitting on a horse, ready to ride into battle with the spear or the lance leveled towards the enemy. And again, that's an image of someone who has a tremendous inner energy and a tremendous drive to achieve. And because you have such a strong drive to achieve, you're able to ride into battle and be quite fearless, and probably leave behind in your wake a few enemies reeling and bruised, and perhaps vowing revenge at some time in the future. So that there's this aspect of self that rushes into situations, and with a not aimlessly, but with a desire to win a battle. And the third aspect of the Book of the Soul is that we have a title, a name, and the name is, as I see it, the warrior. That is one who fights, one who battles, but one who battles for the just cause, which is why the picture on the cover is one of a knight, because you feel yourself bound by rules of morality and fairness, and you would expect those same principles to be applied back to you, which I suspect has not always been the case. I suspect that in this incarnation you've been deceived and perhaps led into traps, financial or relationship wise, and then had to fight your way out again. More like dig your way out, I think, at this point in time. We open the Book of the Soul to the present incarnation, and here the soul depicts itself on the right hand side as an illustration, if you like, and on the left hand side as a few words about the purpose of this life. But we will begin with the picture, the illustration on the right hand side. And the soul illustrates itself in colour. And these are the colours of the aura. And each colour represents a quality that the soul has acquired through many, many incarnations, until they've become part of the fabric of that individual and follow or accompany them from incarnation to incarnation. And the colours mean different things according to where they're placed. Of course, they mean different things according to their hue. But I'm going to read the colours out now so that Melody can create the aura drawing, and then we'll come back and discuss where they originated and what they indicate at present for you in this incarnation. The first colour is light rose, and I have to say that I'm quite surprised at this colour, having seen the Book of the Soul. I would have expected reds to be much more evident, but no. The first colour is a light rose, whereas reds represent energy. Rose, which is you could think of as a very light red, a sort of almost a pink, is more to do with intuition, imagination, sensitivity. So this is the part, the first colour is the part that's closest to you, and that you may well choose to protect. So you may be more concerned with protecting that inner layer of sensitivity and projecting an image of toughness and competency. And that will bring us to the second colour, which is how we project. And the second colour is brown, with slight yellow colour in there. And that's a very good colour for protecting, because brown indicates the capacity to interact with the material world and to create within the world. In other words, to create work, routines, health, money. It gives the ability to bring into physical manifestation very realistic goals, which is a big contradiction because that light rose is very unrealistic. So what you project out into the world is probably someone who's strong, confident, competent in whatever field you've elected to pursue, should be good with business, should be good with planning, logistics, organisation. These are all to do with the brown colours, and we'll come back to that a little bit later. Then on the outside of that, there's a third colour. Not every aura has a third colour, but you have a third colour, and that's purple. And that's another contradiction, it's another paradox, because purple is the colour of the mediator and indicates a connection to spirit, however surreptitious or however under the radar you want to put that. There's a part of you that wants to help and to heal and to reconcile. From the shoulders, yellow-browns again. But the yellow-browns have purple, how can I put it, not exactly streaming into them, but they have, it's as though the colour purple is gradually infiltrating its way into the shoulder colours, and the colours of the shoulder, what raises us up in spirit. So therefore, the yellow-brown, which is at present raising up, this is where you feel raised up when you're successful in the world, where you perhaps make a good business deal, or where you make a good career move, or where you create a good situation in the home or the family, where you're successful in this sense. You feel lifted up, and that's your sense of achievement. So no doubt your questions will reflect that. You want to know about major opportunities or challenges, and I presume that that's mainly in terms of the outer world. And yet the inner world, which is represented by the darker colours, the deeper colours, I should say, the purples and the blues, this is penetrating the psyche. So the spiritual worlds, as it were, they are saying, we are here and we are going to make our presence felt. And that will happen very strongly over the next 3 to 5 years. So it was a good choice to pick that particular period for a question, because there are indeed major changes happening within your life and within yourself in the next 3 to 5 years.
It's a vortex.
The colour inside the head is blue, not a deep blue, sort of a medium blue colour, lightish blue. And now that's interesting too, because I would have expected with the preponderance of the yellows and the browns to have, that would be in your head. But it's not. And that's a handicap, because if you had the yellow browns inside the head as well, you wouldn't have to come to me for a reading for a start. You'd have your feet firmly on the ground and you'd say, oh, blow all this clairvoyance stuff and the psychics and the tarot card readings and all that sort of stuff. I'm going to make my own mind up. And that is a good thing in many ways, because we should be making up our own mind and not relying on any external authority. But at the same time, if you had that colour there, you would blink it. You would blinker your perspective and your thinking. Whereas if you've got the blue there, that dissolves boundaries and it makes you much freer in your mind to contemplate your life. And the vortex color. Now the vortex is a color that enters through the top of the head, through the crown center. And as we see it, it's a bright yellow. Well, that's an interesting color there. The vortex indicates energies that are coming into the consciousness in the next 7 years. And if you've got yellow coming in there, it means that you're entering into a phase where there is a greater thinking energy that's going to come into consciousness, and it's going to dissolve some of that blue. And when yellow meets blue, it actually creates green. So that's an interesting thing. Why would you need green? And I think because green is the color of healing. And I think you need green because I think you've been deeply hurt in this incarnation, and probably you've come through a very difficult period somewhere around 2022-2023. I would imagine you'd have huge and perhaps painful upheaval in either your work or your family, your home, your relationships, or all of them. And that the hurt or the pain that entered into life at that particular point in time is only now being dissipated. You should have also come through a period in your life where career has been important. In fact, in some ways, even though there's great pain involved, there should have also been the achievement of a personal high in terms of career, in terms of people looking up to you, in terms of position, in terms of status, so that you've come through this period. And now you're coming into a period that is quite different, or you're in a period that's quite different, and it's one we might call the time of reflection. So this is a good time to have a reading. I'll come back to that shortly. But let's finish the picture of the aura. And the colour, the cosmic colour above the head is a light blue, sort of a blue, almost a bluish green. It's got just a hint of green in it. And below the feet is light red. And the light blue indicates that you are coming closer to making a new connection with the worlds of spirit. There's an important reason for that, as we shall see shortly. The colour below the feet, light red, means that you want to get moving. You perhaps feel restless. You want to create plans. You want to move on with your life. And that's good, because if you don't move on with life, life will certainly move on with you. And there is a major, I'd say about a 7-year period phase in your life coming up where you will see enormous changes. The symbol of the over-self is as follows. A knight clad in armour on a horse with his lance pointed towards the earth, and the horse is moving this way and that way. And the symbol of the over-self is a communication from the real self. That is the spark of the divine that every soul carries within itself. And no other person, no other individual can access this. This is yours, which is why sometimes it's called the I Am, because you are the only person who can say I Am for yourself. You can't say it for anyone else. So therefore, no clairvoyant can see into this. But the I Am, the Christ Self, the Divine Self, very graciously communicates with us. And it does this by providing an image or a picture that depicts the process of life as it is at present. And this image changes as the individual grows and evolves. But as we see it here, the image of the over-self is, as I've said, a knight seated on a horse. And we will come back to that later in the reading, because we will find that that actually encapsulates within itself the purpose and the fabric of the movements within life at present. Now, I would like to come back, I'd like to return to the first colour. And as I've said, I'm quite interested that the first colour is light rose, because I would have expected probably a light red or some shade of red, since that's the colour on the cover. And if it was light red, then you would indeed be an audacious individual. You'd be bouncing from one thing to another. You'd have an exuberance within you, a movement out towards people. But the reason that the colour has become, in this incarnation, has become like rose, which is a much less energetic colour, I have to say, like much less assertive colour, I would think. Light rose can be assertive, but it does so in a sort of a backwards way by saying, you should know what I mean. You should understand what I'm saying here. Whereas light red doesn't care. They say, this is what I mean. Bang. But the reason that there's been a change in colour this incarnation, and the reason is because of a previous incarnation, previous life, incarnation in France in the First World War. You were a young man, Fleur, that doesn't sound like a man's name, Fleury, I think it might be a surname, perhaps Jacques de Fleury or something like that, and you were a young man in the in the French Hussars, that is, you rode a horse, and you were ordered into battle against the Germans in one of the very early battles of World War I, and the tactic was there to charge the guns, which worked for Napoleon. But when you led your troop into battle, the Germans had machine guns and they simply cut you down, and almost everyone, including you in that troop, died. And that, you learned a lesson there. You learned that before you charge, you think. Before you charge into a situation, you reconnoiter. You survey the landscape. You plan. You don't just rush in, because if you do just rush in, you might well be shot down where you just charge. Now, there's another thing that comes from that incarnation. Because you died about the age of 18, the soul never fully entered into incarnation, and so that the energies that were there for that life were stored, as it were, in the spiritual world. And so when you came into this incarnation, they were accessible to you. Now, you had another life very shortly after the life in France. You died, I think, in 1914. And then you came back into incarnation very quickly, this time in a female body. Yes, you came back into incarnation about 3 years later, so that would be 1917, and in a female body this time. You were born into a family in Australia. Well, actually in Sydney. But at the age of 3, you died of the Spanish flu. So again, it was a life that was cut short. But I can understand why you would have incarnate in Australia in this life, because you weren't able to finish the previous life. And the interesting thing is that in the life where you died very young, your father was a draper. That's right, worked with clothes. And your mother sewed dresses and worked in the shop as well. But your father was mainly working in the shop, and your mother was mainly in the back room making alterations and creating dresses for the ladies. And they were quite successful. In fact, they built quite a business in Sydney. And when you came into incarnation then, even though it was only for a little time, part of the reason was to pick up something of this ability to be creative, and to be creative in a practical way, so that in this life you should be able to, I'm not saying you should be able to take up sewing or design clothes or whatever, but you should be able to take on a business and make a success of it. You should be able to build a business. You should be a builder in this life. And you build not by going out and being a boss and being entrepreneurial in that sense, but rather by responding to a situation. So you need to find a situation, a position, an environment that needs you, and then when you've found that, then you respond to that need. And if you try and create the situation yourself, you'll probably just become horribly frustrated. So you're better when you respond to situations and rather than trying to manufacture them. The light rose does come from a specific incarnation. And here we see you in Italy, in a female body. And interestingly, in an artist's workshop, And you, the workshop was, how can I put it, a place where young people worked, sort of as artistic apprentices to the master artist, who I can't see the name of the artist, Taliatali or Taldio, so some name like that. But he was very successful. He's not that. If I could see the name, I'm sure you'd know who he was. Natalio. No. Anyway, you were trained by doing drawings and drafts for the master and doing sketches that either he would complete or he would assign one of the senior apprentices to complete. But you learned a lot there about the use of colour and line and design. And perhaps because you were a girl, you weren't, you couldn't progress beyond a certain place. And in the end, your parents managed to get you married off, so that stopped any artistic ambition that you might have had there. But in this incarnation, you bring with you an artistic understanding of the environment. You should be able to create beauty around you. In fact, you should create beauty around you. The light rose also indicates, oh, I suppose I've said that, haven't I? Indicates artistic abilities as well as intuitive abilities. So I would encourage you in this incarnation to draw, to sketch, to paint, to work with colours, and bring the intuitive side of you to the fore. The browns indicate an association with the physical earth. Had an incarnation in the 1st century here, where you were in a male body, and you were. Not an artisan exactly, but you made books. Well, I suppose that they were, strictly speaking, they'd be scrolls, but we'll call them books. You made the rolls and the casings, which were made of wood, so that papyrus parchment rolls could be stored in the casings. A bit like a bookbinder, or the equivalent of being a bookbinder, I suppose now. And you were there when the entity we know now as Saint Paul entered into the city and started preaching against the great goddess Artemis. And you were drawn into the mob that mobbed Paul and his companion and wanted to kill them because you thought, or everyone thought, that Paul's preaching against the goddess would ruin their livelihood. And I think that it's in this incarnation, It'd be great to work with your hands. But more probably, again, the idea of design comes up, either literal design, or perhaps you should design things like schedules and organize people and design working environments for people and design publicity and putting things out there. You've got really good colors for someone, for example, in human resources, the ability to enter into what's needed intuitively and then to produce a down-to-earth, articulate communication about what's necessary in a situation. The yellow browns, they make for really good communicators. Then we'll go to the third colour, the purples. And purple, or the third colour, often there's not a third colour in an aura. And in this case, it's like a spare colour, if I can put it that way. It may not have been used much in this incarnation, but it's as though it's waiting there and it will be available to you at a particular point in your life. And the purples, purple is the color of the mediator. It's a combination of red, which is energy and identification with self, subjectivity, and blue, which is dissolution, dissolving boundaries, and losing one's self, as it were, dissolving the identity boundaries. And when you put them together, it indicates that you can empathize and communicate with both types of people. You can communicate with those who are purpose-driven and goal focused, and you can see how that can be too narrow a stratagem or way of working with life or with a situation. And you can also identify with those who find it difficult to set a goal, who find it difficult to difficult to structure and articulate their needs and desires. And you can sit in the middle and you can draw people together. You can be a mediator. You'd make a good negotiator between people. You can explain one style of individual to another and vice versa. In ancient times, the way that this worked out was through the priesthood, because the priest is also a mediator between the heavens, the divine worlds, the spiritual worlds, and the physical world. And we see you here as a priest in Egypt about 3,000 years ago, so that's 1,000 years before Christ. And here in a male body, and you are, I see you with a, not exactly a quill, but you've got a writing implement, and you're writing actually in a wax tablet. And you write letters. So you are able to write, which not everyone in Egypt was, in fact, only a small percentage of the population. Good. So it was your job to write letters that other people needed to send, but like a scribe. And you'd write the letter and they would pay the temple and that would be sent off. And then the opposite would happen, that a letter would come in and you would translate it or read it to the person it was addressed to. So in that incarnation, you're a mediator in a really practical way. You were a translator, as it were. You translated between different sets of people. And you were very good. You're very good at writing. So again, I would think that in this incarnation, you should probably write or do a lot of writing. And not just work-related writing, but every so often, write something for yourself, even if it's just a few lines. Write in a journal. Write a letter to yourself when you're 7 years older. But use some of the skills that you have there. Incarnation in, I think, the 13th century, associated here with Thomas Aquinas, St. Thomas, and you worked in the same monastery as St. Thomas, and you were one of the people who copied his works and distributed them. So there you worked again, there you worked in a big room of scriptorium with lots of other people. But there again you were concerned with transcribing, writing things down and distributing them. We come to the colours from the shoulders. And I think this is where I should talk about the changes that are coming up. You've reached, or you're coming close to, a very significant spiritual milestone within the life. And that is that you're coming close to the completion of karma that happens at the age of 49. It takes about a year. And you would say, well, how can I complete karma? Does that mean that I'm enlightened and pure and fly away on the wings of an angel? No, it's not quite what it means. When we come into incarnation, we have a conference with the Lord of Karma before we enter this life. And we make a list, with the help of the Lord of Karma, about the karmic debts that we wish to rebalance or bring into balance in this incarnation. And the Lord of Karma checks out our list and says, no, it's too much, or perhaps I might say, no, you could take on a bit more. So you've got a list, as it were, say 20 different karmic debts to balance. Now, you begin that act of conscious karmic repayment about the age of 30, and it takes about 20 years and it's completed at the age of 50. So once you have reached the age of 50, it's coming up, you then enter into a completely different understanding of life. Now, it really depends on how intuitive you are, how open to spirit, how receptive, I think is the word. And over the next couple of years, one of the things that would be great to do would be to develop your sensitivity, your sense of receptiveness, your sense of listening, and your sense of observation of what's happening to you in the world. Halfway through next year, I'll just come back one step. At the moment, this is a great time to set goals and to look out to the world around you, to make contacts, to network, to refine and redefine ideals. And this is all great. If you've got children, there'll probably be a lot of interaction between you and your children. It's a great time to reflect on how creative you're being within your life. But when I look at the browns from the shoulders, you've asked three brown questions here. You want to know about opportunities or challenges, etc. You want to know about key decisions or relationships that are about personal growth or career. You're about asking about cultivating energies or mindsets to create a future. Now, these are all brown questions. They're not spiritual questions. Sorry about that. They are brown questions. They pertain to how you see your existence in this world. And they are really good questions. Don't get me wrong. They are really good questions. And you'll find that during the reading, all of them will be answered. For example, I'm going to answer the first one right now. The major opportunities are that your life is going to disappear. Dissolve. It's not going to happen immediately. It's going to start about March next year. It will come about halfway through next year. You will see that the life that you have created, or that has been created for you, gradually starts to dissolve away. And this is not, by the way, necessarily an unpleasant or negative experience, because it means that a lot of the pain, a lot of the traumatic experiences in life, they will dissolve away and fall away too. Relationships will disappear. Over the next, I'll say about between 2025 and about 2027, you will find that what is unnecessary in your life just naturally disappears from that life. The relationships that are not important, they will just disappear. Will you make new ones? No, not particularly. It's the wrong time to make new relationships and new friendships. And if I wouldn't bother too much about where you're going with your career. I would just follow what is set in front of you. And don't forget that this also corresponds or correlates or runs parallel to the fact that you are finishing your karma. And that is a huge, huge transformation for the soul. The soul says, oh, phew, I've done all that stuff. Now I can actually focus on things that are relevant to me. And the soul is spiritual. So it's going to want you to focus on life in a much more spiritual sense. When you get to about the year 2027, then your next questions are going to be answered. Because from 2027 to about 2030, you will be rebuilding your identity. You will be rebuilding yourself. You will be making a new Millie. And this 5 to 7 year period is one of the major transformational periods in life. And I'm going to come back to the aura now, because the browns that have been sustaining you, the focus on what you need to live in the world, that's very important. And as I said, they are really good questions. But the soul has other ideas, because for the soul, this world is just a temporary thing. And the soul is going to start looking forward to its next step, because the soul longs to return to the world from which it came, the spiritual worlds. And that's the significance of the purples that are colouring the yellow-brown wings, or the yellow-brown colours from the shoulders, that more and more you're going to be lifted up by being a mediator, by helping other people, by assisting other souls, by counselling, by interacting everywhere with other people. And you will find more and more your own personal fulfillment comes not from what you achieve, but from how you assist other people to progress in their life journey. So what I would say about question number two is the key decision is to let go and let God. Sorry about that, that's a very old cliche. But relax into life. Let life flow towards you rather than trying to push what you would like to achieve onto life. It's great to have goals. Never forget the goals, but also remember that goals can be incremental. What is a good goal at this stage, with this perspective, may well change in the next 4 to 5 years. In fact, will definitely change. So the first decision that you can make is to be more open to what life brings towards you, and to be more responsive to life. And the second thing I would say is, try not to make major life decisions. Oh, that's probably not quite right. You may well be making major life decisions, but they will be more in terms of separating or moving away from the old life. And that your life decisions in the next 2 to 3 years are very much around letting go. And it's really good to let go. And the reason you want to let go is because when you start the new cycle, which happens around about 2027, then you can proceed unencumbered with the baggage that you were carrying around before. You can't make a new start if you're still trying for an old conclusion. So conclusion phase is coming, new start is within reach. I think I've just answered question number three too. It's lovely to think that we create the future, but when you say I create the future, what I are you talking about? Are you talking about the self that's created from your wants, your desires, your yearnings, your urges, your memories, your pains? Are we talking about that self? Because that self is not actually really going to create anything. That's a temporary self. Because all those urges, all those pains, they too will pass. Are you talking about the soul? Well, see, the thing is, the future the soul wants to create may be quite different from what the other self thinks should be created. The soul may not think that money is important at all. It may think that success is not important. It may think that rising to a high position is not important. It may even think that family is not important. So what does the soul think is important? Well, the soul thinks that what is important is connection. And when you enter the new phase of life, it will be more and more about connection, connecting with people, but also about connecting with self. And by self, I mean even beyond the soul, the real spark of divinity that, if we allow it to, will light up our light, our life, and our consciousness. We have blues inside the head, and that's a really difficult colour, because no matter how you try and think clearly, articulately, logically, responsibly, in a goal-oriented way, however much you try that, in the end it's all going to dissolve. That's what the blue does. The blue says, oh, you know, if push comes to shove, that's not really me. I don't really belong here. Because the blue remembers a place of beauty, a place of wonder, a place of delight and love. And that's what the blue does. And so it's there all the time. I won't say it stops success for you, because you can certainly be successful. But what it does is it sits there in this annoying way and makes you think, this can't be all there is to life. Why would you be having a reading, past life reading, if you thought that anyway? So the blue is your connection with spirit. And the yellow, as it enters in, will give you a much greater conscious understanding of who you are as a spiritual being. And that is what creates transformation. And the wonderful thing is that when that yellow mingles with the blue, it creates green. And green is the colour of change. And so your thinking is going to change. It's going to change dramatically. But 5 years on, you'll look back and you'll say, was that really me back there in the old days of 2024? Did I really think like that? No, you can think differently, because green also represents healing. And it's a healing of the thinking. And it's not that you're not a good thinker. You're a very good, clear, articulate thinker. But the soul says, oh, but there's more than one type of intelligence. There are lots of ways of thinking and looking at the world. And so that the green starts shifting the way you look at the world. When you start looking at the world, when you start changing the way you think, when you start changing yourself, then you certainly change the world. The symbol of the over-self is the knight in armour on a horse. But the knight has his lance pointed downwards. In other words, he's not attacking. Now, what are we seeing here? What does the knight represent? Well, the knight represents the highest part of yourself, and that is courage. The knight represents courage, and the knight represents the willingness to go into battle for what you believe is right. But the knight's not moving at the moment, and lance is not up. The horse is moving around sort of restively, just goes from one place to another. So you're not... you haven't got anything to fight at the moment. There's no battle. And that is because the knight has to get off the horse, which is its current way of thinking, its current intelligence. And then the knight, still a knight, just doesn't have armor on, the knight is freed from the binding and the constraints of so many incarnations. And you see, if the night represents yourself encumbered and bound in armor for its own protection, it means that there's something incredibly vulnerable underneath. And I think in the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to encounter this vulnerability. But when you do, when you take off some of the armor, you risk being hurt. Of course you do. But what you exhibit in turn is greater strength. It takes much greater strength to give in and surrender than it does to claim and possess. So that in the years to come, you will find yourself, through releasing, through letting go, by gradually allowing the old armor to disappear. And it doesn't stop you being a warrior, but you'll be a peaceful warrior, if there's such a thing. And the essence of the warrior is the one who fights with courage. And that's the title. It's a single word that I can see on the left-hand side of the Book of the Soul. The one who fights with courage. And when you participate in life with courage, then what happens is that you shine a light, because courage is a heart quality. And what dwells within the heart is the light of the world. It's your light. So the more you express courage, and the more willing you are to risk expressing love, and you can't love without courage, the stronger light you shine into the world. And interestingly enough, the more light you shine, the more you attract to you souls who also express light within them. I think this is, in some ways, this has been a difficult incarnation. And that because of the hurt, that's perhaps the pains that have come in the past, you might have been tempted to armor yourself against pain in the future. But that would not sit well with the warrior within you. And I think, Millie, that over the next 5 to 7 years, there will be subtle, gradual changes. There'll be release. There'll be surrender. There'll be forgiveness. There'll be the expression of compassion. And when that happens, then there's expression of the greater love. And to be quite honest, the best that any of us can be is a light in the world. Sometimes it's a dark world. But when there's light, then for a while the darkness flees. And if you have the courage to be the light, other people will see that and also come to be the light. And that is such an important task. I cannot communicate to you how important it is to create the light of the world in the next part of this world's evolution. And I wish you every strength and every success in achieving it. So shall it be.